That's a song from Camper van Beethoven, one of David Lowery's bands. Lowery, an early champion of the freedom of the internet and a teacher of music business, says the current environment is crushing musicians, but not because of overregulation. He says the culprit is the government's lax response to pirate sites, which leaves artists at the mercy of places like iTunes or Google, which throw pennies to creators who otherwise stand to earn nothing. Moreover, he says the prevailing notion among the digerati that music consumers shouldn't have to pay makes the situation worse. In Lowery's blog, he argues in favor of the infamous old record company system. The new boss, he wrote, is worse than the old boss.
I did this as hyperbole, right? We could agree that basically artists do not receive very much revenue under the old record label system. But most people ignore the fact that the labels actually gave artists advances based on moderate success. And yet, they also expected, like, say, 9 out of 10 of these artists to remain unrecouped and never see any royalties other than their advances. And when you compare that on average to what somebody directly doing a deal with iTunes gets, they actually get less. Now, one place where revenue does rise that's really interesting is the artist's response to falling recorded music revenue is to tour more. Most artists are playing for less people, essentially with the same expenses.
So why do we keep hearing that artists are doing better?
One of the reasons is because there's reports floating around on the internet. There's one called The Sky is Rising. Now, everybody looks at that and goes, well, yeah, look, it says revenue's up. These are studies that were paid for instance, the internet lobby. But look at the fine print. What they're including as revenue, for instance, is iPod sales. They have musical instrument sales, right? There's charts in there that show digital revenue rising. Well, of course it's rising. It started at zero. There's another chart in that very report that says the number of music transactions is rising astronomically. Well, before iTunes, only a handful of songs were available as singles. So now, essentially, instead of buying one album, you're buying 14 tracks. And a host of other things. And that's not the only study like that. There's a bunch of them out there. They're all commissioned by companies that would like the status quo to continue as it is.
Well, what about the argument we hear that maybe artists are making less money, but recording costs are lower, so they're doing okay?
Not true. I have run a studio complex for 20 years. Yes, the recording device itself has gotten cheaper. But the highly skilled labor is charging as much as it did in the past. We have recording costs falling, but not nearly as much as people think they have.
Well, what about the argument that artists now get to communicate directly with their fans, and these core fans can support them?
Yes, I think certain kinds of artists, you know, like Amanda Palmer, is very gregarious and willing literally to show her breasts to raise money.
I think that may be a slight extreme example, but okay.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that there is a certain gregariousness. Could you imagine like a Jimi Hendrix raising money this way? How do you raise money from non-existent fans when you're making something that people don't know that they want?
But hasn't that always been the problem?
Well, yes, but we had a logical way of compensating those who took the risk, right? Founder of Atlantic Records, Ahmet Erdogan, didn't have to have a crowd of people first agree to take a chance on, say, a Led Zeppelin record or a Captain Beefheart record. These were things that the people didn't know that they wanted yet. But because he knew he would be compensated in a rational way, if he were right, he would take the risk.
Would you say the cure is simply getting the services where people get their music now, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Google, to pay the artists more per listen?
Look, a lot of people don't like me picking on iTunes because iTunes represents something bigger in people's minds. It's like addressing Santa Claus and his union troubles with his elves or something. But listen, iTunes takes 30% of gross revenue. The old mom-and-pop stores with their physical goods, breakage, shipping, stoned employees, electricity costs actually took 40%. So how do you go from total brick-and-mortar, physical, inefficient system and only save 10%? Ultimately, in the background, all artist negotiations, there's this notion that, like, this is going to keep happening and you're going to get nothing, or you could sign this agreement with us and you'll get a little tiny bit.
Do you think the situation will be fixed?
I think that actually it's much easier to fix than people think it is. Largely, the infringement goes on the internet, right? The companies that do the infringing make money through premium fees that they charge through MasterCard, Visa, Amex, PayPal, or they do it with advertising. So stop companies like MasterCard and Amex and PayPal that allow these sites to have accounts with them. They're not supposed to be doing it anyway by law right now.
Part of what really irks you is what you see as hypocrisy on the part of some of your erstwhile friends in the digerati, people like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which are staunch defenders of internet privacy, but also seem to be equating the use of other people's property with freedom.
Well, here's what the Electronic Frontier Foundation refuses to acknowledge, okay? Freedom is actually a careful balancing act between the rights of different parties.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom is actually not this thing that the Electronic Frontier Foundation sells you. They're selling you nihilism, where basically everybody gets to do whatever they want to do, no matter what it is. To me, the bigger problem isn't even piracy. The bigger problem is this notion that floats around in academia, and especially in progressive circles, that somehow it's going to be good for us if we kill the record labels and the movie studios. That's actually the big danger. If we don't have a market-based cultural goods system, we're left with patronage and government subsidy. The right wing in this country is never going to go for tax dollars going to artists. And besides, do you really want the government deciding which artists get money? On the other side is patronage. Who can afford, then, to be the patrons of art? This is the craziest thing that I think the left in this country is going through in academia. I think they're like drinking the great Kool-Aid right now.
David, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
David Lowery is a member of the bands Camper Van Beethoven and Cracker and blogs at Tricordist.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.